This is The Takeaway. I'm John Huckenberry. Thanks for listening. And on this Monday, we come back to our very troubled earth, the two conventions in our rearview mirror. And we've got two detailed looks at the situation in Iraq, Syria, and the wider Middle East for you. You may have missed it, but last week, one of the main opposition groups in Syria, Jabhat al-Nusra, formally cut ties with the terrorist organization al-Qaeda, which it has long been affiliated with. The rebranding under the name Jabhat Fateh al-Sham was to unify it as an Islamic group with its own separate mission. What is that mission? Al-Nusra, which emerged in 2012, is tightly embedded in Syrian communities and has established military alliances with all kinds of rebel groups. This could be a signal of a rapidly approaching turning point for the entire region. According to Jennifer Caffarella, fellow at the Institute for the Study of War and the author of Jabhat al-Nusra in Syria, an Islamic Emirate for al-Qaeda.
What we're actually seeing is a continuation of a trend that began last year when al-Qaeda's Syrian affiliate, Jabhat al-Nusra, and prominent Syrian opposition groups formed a new coalition called the Army of Conquest in northwestern Syria. That army of conquest proved militarily effective and seized the provincial capital of Idlib city from the Syrian regime. What we're witnessing now with the declared cessation of Jabhat al-Nusra and its replacement with a new organization called Jabhat Fateh al-Sham opens the door for a full merger of that army of conquest coalition. So it's a continuation of a trend wherein opposition groups in partnership with al-Qaeda are attempting to become more effective at their coordination against the Assad regime in order, among other things, to survive the combined onslaught of the Assad regime's ground advances and the Russian air campaign.
Let's talk for a moment about Assad, because there have been suggestions that really the end game is near for Assad. He can play a standoff for essentially as long as he wants, but any idea that he's going to reclaim Syria is off the table. Does this coalition, does this combining of forces hasten whatever sort of end game there is here?
Absolutely. So the Assad regime will not reconquer all of Syria. It simply does not have the manpower to retake all of that terrain. What the Assad regime is attempting to do, despite rhetoric to the contrary, is to seize key strategic areas that will give it and ensure that it retains leverage at the negotiating table, that it retains the upper hand and does not have to submit to opposition demands. The Assad regime intends also to drag out the war long enough so that the Syrian opposition radicalizes or lose the legitimacy and the support of the international community. So in some ways, it is actually a losing strategy. It's a strategy to hold on for as long as possible and to let the situation deteriorate to the point at which the West has no choice but to accept the Assad regime or continued war in Syria.
Is part of its intent to kind of create an umbrella organization which anticipates some sort of political power-sharing talks and loses the kind of terrorist identity that would make it impossible for the U.S. and other coalition nations to deal with it?
I don't actually expect that the theory with the new branding is for this group to ever participate in a negotiated settlement. In fact, it's most likely the opposite. So the leader of al-Qaeda's Syrian affiliate that has since rebranded, Jolani, has actually come out openly in defiance of the political negotiations, stating that Syrians that participate in negotiations with the Assad regime are to be considered having betrayed the revolution and committed an act of treason. So I don't expect Jolani is actually going to change his position. Instead, what al-Qaeda is doing is doubling down on their military support to the Assad regime in order to establish enough influence within the opposition to convince the opposition to adopt the maximalist political objectives that al-Qaeda has, which is actually the full destruction of the Assad regime and its replacement with an Islamic State.
Now, Jennifer, that sounds to me like the birth of a new ISIS.
Well, certainly. However, this group, this al-Qaeda affiliate, has been there since the start of the war. So it hasn't received very much attention in the Western policy debate, but it has been active in opposition-held areas governing, not just conducting military operations, but governing according to a very hardline interpretation of Sharia law, very similar to ISIS's. It simply hasn't gotten a lot of coverage in the West. What it is now trying to do is pull additional opposition groups into that fold.
In terms of military tactics, you described the Russians supporting Assad to prolong this. Aren't the Iranians also attempting to assist Assad in the fight for Mosul?
Well, the Iranians are indeed very active in Iraq as well. There are Iranian-backed proxy forces, you know, that are operating on the ground against ISIS that are participating in anti-ISIS operations. However, in Syria, the Iranian support to the Assad regime is direct support. It's actually, you know, IRGC, Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, members directly on the ground fighting alongside the Assad regime. The Assad regime does not have enough troops to fight as many fronts as it is currently fighting. So the Russian air campaign helps the Assad regime with Iranian reinforcements on the ground to continue to conduct these operations. But both the Russian and the Iranian support is actually existential for the regime at this stage in the war.
Is this a setup for a broader regional sectarian conflict, or is this division of Syria into three districts?
I think it is actually both. So we are witnessing Syria as sort of a crucible for regional conflict. Of course, you have the direct Iranian involvement in the war, and you also have regional states backing Syrian armed opposition groups against the Assad regime. So that dynamic has always been the case. Syria is in many ways a proxy war. But the reality that the Assad regime will not reconquer all of Syria also indicates that on current trajectory, Syria will not become whole again. If the Assad regime is not going to reconquer all of that terrain and al-Qaeda is going to continue to operate in that terrain, the U.S. has a very serious policy challenge in order to prevent ISIS 2.0, so to speak, or the next wave of global terrorism that is currently incubating in opposition-held Syria.
Speaking to us from Washington, D.C., Jennifer Caffarella is a fellow at the Institute for the Study of War and author of Jabhat al-Nusra in Syria, an Islamic Emirate for al-Qaeda. Jennifer, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.